Good morning and welcome to the conference call regarding Neoenergia's first quarter 2022 results. The presentation will be led by Mr. Mario Ruiz-Tagle, CEO of the company, and Leonardo Gadelha, CFO of the company. This conference call is being broadcast simultaneously over the internet via webcast and can be accessed at ri.neoenergia.com, where the respective presentation is also available. At this time, all participants are connected only as listeners, and later we will start the Q&A session when instructions for you to participate will be provided. This conference is being held in Portuguese and simultaneously translated into English. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please press star zero for assistance. In addition, this event is being recorded and later its replay will be available on Neoenergia's investor relations website. It should be noted that this presentation may contain forward-looking statements that represent Neoenergia's expectations and projections about future events or assumptions. These expectations involve several risks and uncertainties, and therefore may be results or consequences different from those discussed and anticipated here. Investors should bear in mind that overall conditions, industry conditions, and operating factors might impact future results of the business and may produce results that differ from those expressed herein. I would now like to turn the floor over to Mr. Mario Ruiz-Tagle. Please, Mr. Tagle, you can proceed.
Good morning to all. Thank you very much, operator. I would like to thank everyone for being connected here today in one more conference call to present our earnings results for the first quarter of 2022. Here with me are Solange Ribeiro, Deputy CEO, Leonardo Gadelha, CFO of Neoenergia, Eduardo Capelastegui, Equity Control and Planning Executive Director, Saulo Cabral, CEO of Neoenergia Pernambuco, the General Manager who is replacing Fulvio Machado, who is away on holidays, and Renata Rocha, Deputy IR Officer of the company. Well, I will make a brief presentation going through the main highlights of the results of the period, and afterwards, Leonardo will present the results in more detail. We will then have a question and answer session and final conclusions. Well, 2022 started with a challenge for us, especially due to the low temperatures and heavy rainfall in the first months of the year. Still, it's important to point out that once again, our resilience in our concession areas, together with the robust regulatory model of Neoenergia, allowed us once again to be fully prepared to present yet another great result. Quarter-over-quarter, Neoenergia has been performing ever better and growing. On slide number four, we will look at the highlights of the results of the first quarter. In terms of cash EBITDA, which does not consider the impacts of VNR and IFRS 15 on transmission, it reached 2.4 billion reais in the quarter, over 60% higher when compared to the same period in 2021, reflecting the tariff adjustments, cost discipline that we have in the company, and the new transmission wind projects, wind and solar projects, and of course, the good performance of Termopernambuco. In relation to operating expenses and Neoenergia Distribuição Brasília in March 2021, for comparison purposes, the quarter shows a 5% growth. Once again, despite the inflationary pressures we're under. we've been under over the past months, and we've been capable to absorb the inflation. The growth of our customer base continues strong. The increase in headcount by over 793 employees, in addition to the activities and to our insourcing and the operations of new projects. And the new projects and activities that came into operation in wind energy and transmission. Net income for the first quarter was 1.2 billion reais, 20% higher compared to the first quarter of 2021. Despite the increase of interest rates and its impacts. And this quarter, we had 3.14x net EBITDA, debt at level of controlled leverage, in line with 3.12 level of the end of 2021. As a result of our outstanding execution capacity and the progress of our growth projects in transmission, wind, and solar, and the investments in our distribution companies, we executed a CapEx of around 2.4 billion reais this quarter. It is an expressive figure, and most likely very few companies in the electric sector have surpassed these results. Finally, as already reported to the market in our NeoWatch, injected energy dropped 1.45%, as indicated as a result of the heavy rainfalls and mild temperatures, especially in January. All of those 6 points highlight and confirm the robust and consistent result we have attained this quarter. Now on slide five, I'll walk you through the evolution of our projects that are in construction and transmission after a year in 2021, where we delivered the six auctions, the six batches in 2017, with expressive advances in savings in CapEx. I would also like to mention the progress in other lots. In December 2018, we continue moving forward with the constructions and licensing processes, and we have also planned the delivery of some of these tranches in the second half of this year, 2022. Regarding lot from 2019, we're also moving forward with 70% physical progress, also fulfilling our business plan. As for the Morro do Chapéu lot from the auction held in December 2020, the CapEx has already been hired, material services, and the environmental licenses are being obtained. Constructions will begin in the first half of 2022. Finally, the lot we obtained in December 2021 auction, we've already signed the concession agreement this year, and we have obtained the protocol for the environmental license, considering it is an assembly of compensators in the substation. And we've recently obtained the recognition, the acknowledgement to obtain the environmental license, to actually use the existing license to accelerate the construction of the project and renewables after reaching important milestones in 2021, when Neoenergia actually doubled its wind farms, going from 500 MW to 1 GW in operation. With the completed Chafariz complex, we've had important advancements in Oitis. We have 17 wind turbines that have been assembled, and we will begin to operate the complex in the following months, and we expect to have the few machines in operation in the first half this year, with the conclusion of the wind farm by the end of 2022. In total, we'll have 103 wind turbines of 5.5 MW each, which will allow us to actually meet the plan and the CapEx we had in our business plan. We're already prepared to supply for distribution. In Oitis has 96% of energy in the free market, sold at prices that ensure the project's profitability, exceeding the business plan in a certain percentage by the end of the year, delivering the 566.5 MW. New energy, with half a 2-year time, tripled its installed capacity. I should also mention our Luzia wind farm, the first solar project with 149 megawatts peak, aimed at the free market and which was born, which was set up with 100% of the energy sold in ACL by 2026 and 20% of the energy by the end of its used life, as mentioned with the opportunity with agreements with Telefónica Claro. Encouraging news for Luzia. We have 95% of the panels delivered, and the assemblies have already begun. The conclusion of the complex is expected for the second half this year, also in line with our business plan. I would also like to mention, and I know it is a concern for some, well, we've had the turnaround of Neoenergia Brasil highlights. Ever since we actually acquired the assets in March last year, over a year ago, we can see on slide six that we have, well, as we've shown before, well, the leverages that have created value in our turnaround in Brazil in relation to losses we achieved in the first quarter of 2022. It is the fifth consecutive quarter reduction, reaching 12.65% and moving towards the regulatory target of 11.66%. In the business plan for acquisition, we aimed at the regulatory framework 2024, and have already mentioned we are looking at Neoenergia Brasília losses for 2023 that will also be within the limits. In terms of default, we've had good returns, and we've reached 99.27% of collection, higher than the 90.64% levels we had in 1Q21, when we had only 28 days up to March. In relation to OpEx, another relevant point, after the headcount reviews and three voluntary disconnection programs, we've had the collective bargaining agreement for 2 years, reviewed the field processes, captured synergies with Neoenergia corporate areas, and have carried forward the work that have produced results for our company. We've reached a 21% reduction compared to the first quarter 2021. In terms of quality, we also have good news. Despite the challenges with the heavy rainfall in Brasília in the second half in 2021, we have observed changes in management, and the investments in the network have allowed us to be within the regulatory limits with OFEC, and had an expressive improvement in relation to the fourth quarter in 2021. As noted, we are fulfilling our business plan in Neoenergia Brasília, and I firmly believe we will continue generating value for shareholders, clients, and all of our partners in Brasília, the Federal District. I will now give the floor to our CFO, Leonardo Gadelha, who will provide more details on the results in our first quarter 2022.
Thank you, Mario. Good morning, everyone. Apologies for my voice. I'm hoarse today. As Mario mentioned, we had another quarter with strong results despite the fact the market performance was not as strong, especially in January, as mentioned. Looking at the results on slide eight, we see a 31% evolution in the consolidated gross margin in the quarter, driven mainly by the effect of Parcel B, the adjustments in tariff reviews in Neoenergia Brasília, and in the first quarter contributes with 1 month only in the first quarter to 2021, and better results with renewables with the complete operation of Chafariz complex and Termo in the liberalized segment. In this quarter, we continue to present excellent and consistent performance with operating expenses, a 5% growth over 1Q21, disregarding the effect of the consolidation of Neoenergia Brasília, therefore absorbing the pressure of the inflation, two-digit inflation with growth in the number of consumers, of employees, and the new businesses in transmission and renewables. Thus, our EBITDA advanced 38% over the first quarter in 2021, reaching $3,169 million. When we look at the cash EBITDA, excluding non-cash items as VNR and IFRS 15, the variation is 60%. Very strong growth in the quarter, which has been consistent over the past quarters, as we can see in the chart. Quarter-over-quarter, we've had consecutive growth. We've had a net income of $1,212 million. That is a 20% growth compared to 1Q21. Moving on to the next slide, we have CapEx on slide nine. In the quarter, we reached a total of $2.5 billion, roughly $1.3 billion in distribution, R$355 million in the progress of transmission works, and $800 million in the progress of the OATs and Luzia projects. To the $2.5 billion, well, this execution shows that we are in line with our CapEx plan for the year, which amounts to $10 billion, roughly. We've achieved $4 billion in the first half, according to plan, and confirming our execution capacity. Now, looking at the business, the network business on slide 11, looking at injected energy in our distribution companies, this was already informed, announced to the market. In the first quarter, as already announced, there was not a strong demand, mainly due to the lower temperatures and heavy rainfalls in the month of January. However, we've observed a good performance in the months of February and March and expect to see a recovery in the market throughout the year. On the next slide, we have distributed energy. On this slide, we present the evolution of our five distribution companies, which was already announced in the same notification. We had a 1.3% reduction considering Neoenergia Distribuição Brasília pro forma in 1Q21. The total number of consumers reached 15.8 million, an increase of 326,000 consumers in 12 months. In terms of losses, on slide 15, we once again had a very good performance in the quarter with a downward trend in all distribution companies except for Coelba, which had five consecutive quarters with a reduction in losses. However, this quarter, it had a decline due to the increase that was not the energy that was not billed. But there will also be a turnaround. It will be reversed soon. In Pernambuco Electric Concern and Brasília, there were reductions, declines. Electro and Concern are still within the regulatory limits, one-digit losses. Brasília performing better than the plan, approaching the regulatory limit. In terms of default, on slide 14, in this quarter, we had once again a very strong performance, control in terms of default, despite the economic scenario, the economic situation with hydric pressure readjustment. The PCLD remained well in line with the pre-COVID level, reaching a provision of R$130 million in the quarter. It's still under control in all of our distribution companies. When compared this value with the first quarter 2021, we see a reduction of 7%, a decline of 7% as seen on the chart, and once again highlighting our successful collection actions that were carried out and the means of payment that have been made available to all consumers ever since the beginning of the pandemic. Now talking about quality on slide 15, we have the DEC and FEC indicators with consistent improvement in quality indicators in both DEC and FEC in our distribution companies, despite the rains that we had once again in January in our areas, which had an impact in the operation, still our trajectory was consistent. In the case of Brasília, as Mario also mentioned, we are within the regulatory FEC limit. On slide 16, we have network results, and we have an evolution, 30% growth in regards to gross margin, reaching 3.6 billion in the quarter, driven by the readjustments and the review of Parcel B in our distribution companies. The margin, well, is also a result of the consolidation of 2 months in Neoenergia Brasília. There are also inflation effects of VNR and transmission of IFRS 15 and the new projects that are also have an impact on gross margin. OpEx and network OpEx was also a highlight with a 9% growth, disregarding the effect of the consolidation of Neoenergia Brasília, confirming the effect and absorbing the inflation and with the increasing number of employees. The EBITDA of networks grew by 36% in the quarter, excluding the values, the VNR and IFRS 15 values. The growth amounted to 55%, reaching 1.976 billion in the quarter, driven mainly by readjustments and the new operations, transmission operations that impact this cash value in EBITDA. The profit reached 1.229 billion in the quarter, a 5% increase. We can see in regards to the renewables and liberalized results on slide 18. We had in the first quarter, well, the renewables EBITDA presented a growth of 10%. The EBITDA was driven mainly by the wind farms. It grew by 70%, and with the Chafariz complex operations adding 31 million reais to the results. In the liberalized segment, we reached the EBITDA in the first quarter of 266 million, a 112% increase compared to 1Q 2021, with a very strong performance in Termopernambuco, reaching 265 million reais in the quarter. Since it did not operate in the quarter, it benefited from low PLD purchase honoring its contracts. Our trader NC presented also a solid EBITDA in the quarter, 1 million reais. In regards to our capital structure on slide 20, our capital structure, we finished the first quarter with a net debt of 33.7 billion reais, basically resulting from the progress of our CapEx, the realization of our planned CapEx. However, the strong results meant that our net EBITDA ratio remained, well, leveled, flat, and we reached 3.14 at the end of 2021. For this year, we expect for this leverage to remain at this level, maybe ranging from 3.2 or 3.3 in this half due to the execution of CapEx, but still below the forecast, the forecasted plan. The structure, our debt structure, still quite comfortable with sound distribution going forward over the next 5 years. This year, I should mention, we have disbursed so far a total of 6 billion reais in new funding actions, fundraising actions, despite, of course, the increase in the CDI and the IPCA rates. We've obtained competitive spreads with different funding sources. The most recent example were the debentures we issued with Coelba in Pernambuco. and we settled the operation on April 20th, amounting to 2.4 billion reais in total, with a strong demand, also a strong interest in our stocks and with competitive spreads. We feel comfortable to execute our plan, our fundraising plan going forward. We have made headway, and we will continue until July. After that, we are basically going to disburse the lines that have been already contracted together with the agencies, and we are going to therefore be prepared to manage volatility. It's an election year, and we will fulfill our CapEx plan. This is all I had to share for now. I will ask the operator to kindly open for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star zero. To remove your question from the list, press star two. Please wait as the questions come in. The first question is from André Sampaio from Santander.
Good morning, everyone. I have a question related to the investment strategy versus the payment of dividends. We've heard of discussions in relation to potential sale of assets of NE Goiás. I'd like you to please comment on the interest in this asset and maybe to talk about the next transmission auction. What is the company's strategy in relation to the auction and how it is in line with the potential dividend policy for this year?
Thank you. Thank you, André. So in answering the first part of your question, in Goiás assets, we are not involved in the analysis of the assessment. We're not looking assessing at this asset. We're looking at the turnaround of Neoenergia Brasília and improving the operating performance of our four distribution companies, as shown in our presentation, our earnings results. And for the time being, Neoenergia is not looking into the potential sale of NEO in Goiás. In relation to the next transmission auction, we are considering the opportunities, and we are fully aware of the changing situation, macroeconomic situation, and in terms of the commodities prices that are also changing and impact our transmission investments, and also the extended deadlines for the supply chain and production, and mainly for products that are produced in those countries. And the world is now going through new inflation levels, and of course, we have to reassess our efficiency and profitability, of course, evidently. And in this case, we're going to consider the project, look at the profitability potential, and then, of course, continue looking into the value creation process to attain the results we've had so far and exceeding them. And we have so far concluded, well, the investment phase that we had in 2019 when we had our IPO, and we are going to reach a potential deleveraging level. We are reviewing our possibilities with the board to look at our dividend policy that will be tied to the leveraging level of the company, looking at the future investment scenario and potential. So this is my answer to your question so far.
Perfect. Thank you very much for your answer.
Our next question is from Carolina Carneiro from Credit Suisse.
Good morning to all. Thank you for this call. I would also like to ask two different questions. First, since you talked about the challenges faced in the first quarter with the rainfall and lower temperatures, but the distribution company's performance was good, and you also had the results under control. What do you expect in regards to the second quarter? We are looking at, of course, a possible tariff increase. We're looking at that with concern. Maybe this year it will be higher, and with the meters that might no longer be used. Could you please comment on the volumes for the second quarter in PCLD? That would also be very interesting. And the second question related to Andre's questions. Could you also share more about your participation in the transmission auction in June? Different companies mentioned this particular auction is somewhat different with larger blocks and also with the macroeconomic scenario. There might be, well, maybe not as many players from the industry, and there are lots that are particularly tied to companies in Bahia. Could you maybe comment on your possible participation in this auction? Thank you.
Thank you, Carolina, for your question. In relation to the market scenario, well, January was a difficult month, very low temperatures, especially in the northeastern region, and heavy rainfalls. There were still heavy rainfalls, but now, well, within normal levels, there is an improvement in the market regulation. April is pretty much in line with what we expected for this half, and going forward, we should recover. And as for the tariff increases you mentioned, we had, well, the results up in the Northeast and in August and Brasília in October. We should reassure you that with the increases, well, we do have a tariff tag, a tariff price. We have also offset the tariff increase with PIS/COFINS credits that were available to us. Therefore, I believe I can say we're doing an excellent job with the regulator to control and to manage the impacts, to reduce the impacts on the regulated tariffs due as a result of the high inflation and the high inflation rate in Brazil. And the regulatory framework, well, I should also mention, it's once again robust in Brazil in terms of acknowledging the actual generation cost, the actual distribution cost, and the payment culture among Brazilian users should be also pointed out. After the pandemic, well, our collection figures are quite good considering the situation we are facing at the moment. In terms of distribution, I would also, of course, like to address your concern by saying the following. We are fully aware of the size of this new auction, and it should produce, of course, which results in less companies going to the bid. And not only for technology, but also financial reasons. We believe it will lead to more profitability, more positive expectations, almost by 1% point higher. And we actually want to consider the project carefully to understand all of the possible risks that are involved, looking at the distribution network, and we will consider whether we're prepared to participate or not, looking at the minimum returns that are expected in this new scenario, and on the other hand, proper and adequate control, risk control of such a project. Thank you. Thank you very much for your reply. We have one more question from Daniel Travieschi from Banco Safra.
Hello to everyone. Good morning, and thank you for the presentation. I'll ask you to please talk about the divestment process in the hydropower plants. What do you actually have in mind? Anything new? Any new plans? Anything we might expect for the next months? That would be my first question. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel, for your question. I would just add the following. We are not plural. You mentioned hydropower plants, but we are actually looking to sell our stake. We have a stake in the Belo Monte project, 3% stake. It's owned by Neoenergia. Yes, we're moving forward. There are some interested parties. There are some regulatory aspects that also impact Norte Neoenergia. We've been looking closely at that and how it's evolving, especially in regards to the hydrogram that will be used in the future. Yeah, the process is moving forward, and that is a good thing, and we might consider selling. In relation to the other assets, not only hydropower plant, but potential wind farms, we are also considering investment opportunities and divestment opportunities, exit opportunities, looking at our portfolio, seeking to optimize value distribution to our shareholders. This is not, of course, an alternative we will also consider.
Thank you, Mario.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press star one.
We will now close the question and answer session. I will then turn the floor to Mr. Mario Ruiz Tagle for his closing remarks. You have the floor, Mr. Tagle.
Thank you very much, operator. I would, as usual, like to say as a final message to reassure our stakeholders in Neoenergia that we are fulfilling our value creation proposition, and we are driven by results, efficiency, by creating value to our shareholders and stakeholders. We have had an expressive EBITDA growth quarter-over-quarter. From June 2019 with the IPO, we've grown by 12%, surpassing all the expectations that the market had at the time of the IPO, and with, of course, the pandemic, the water crisis, and now with the inflation rate that, of course, brings a lot of pressure to the business. We've still attained excellent results. We will continue doing so. We have kept our expenses under control more and more efficiently with loss management, default management that have excelled and also created important value by improving the quality as perceived by our consumers, the products and investments in our network. All of the aforementioned, well, within the regulatory framework that stands out globally, is robust and has created solutions within the regulatory framework that is in effect. We've also advanced with transmission projects for solar and wind power aligned to our business plans, which have contributed to support these growing results and will also lead to important results in transmission renewables with the Oitis and Luzia wind farms. In Neoenergia Brasília, we continue on a daily basis, accelerating as much as we can in order to attain the results ahead of time.
and anticipating our business plan. We have therefore reduced losses. We're still within the regulatory framework and are also going to have our DEC within the regulatory framework, therefore improving our results and services. Of course, there are many challenges that lie ahead. We are fully prepared to rise up to them. I should point out the responsibility of our management, of our board in terms of future investments. We are clearly aware of the macroeconomic changes that are in place with the returns on investments will have to grow. To our shareholders, thank you for your trust in our management. We have the right team in place, fully engaged to the results we must attain. Finally, I should also point out that we have attained these results through the engagement, the commitment, and dedication of each and every employee working at Neoenergia who have been doing all they can to rise up to the challenges, to surpass any obstacles. Thank you to all. I wish you an excellent day and an excellent week. The conference call is now adjourned. Thank you all for joining Neoenergia's earnings results call, and thank you for using Chorus Call.